Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
The Thai girls were talking to each other the entire time, clearly making fun of us, right? Talking about our bodies and how inadequate they were.
Mm-hmm. Or the Korean woman think Danny?
Yes.
Danny is good looking.
Yes, Korean people think Dan is good looking.
Mm-hmm. He has small face.
So maybe I should just move here.
Mm-hmm. I think you should go to hospital.
You think I should go to the hospital?
Yeah, he needs some help. So he needs help in his head, right? He needs head help.
Yes.
I do need head help.
Mm-hmm. But we can't say slang, right, here?
Why not?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why, what happened?
He's good looking.
До свидания.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast, presented by our good friends at Coors Light.
Jason, we missed you.
Dance. Hey, we're back.
Hey, it's the Jay and Dan podcast for the week of, what the heck day is it?
It is the 26th of February, 2018. We're recording this podcast. We are back from Korea, and it is Trade Center Day, Dan.
That's right. They flew us back specifically for this. They commandeered an Air Canada plane, and here we are. We were actually on our return flight with Tessa Virtue's mother, who pulled me aside before we got off. She said, I'm Tessa's mom, and just want you to know that your interview that you guys did with them was their favorite part of the Olympics for interviews.
So
I guess winning the gold.
So winning the gold medal
for interviews was their favorite part.
A close second. Oh, what happened?
There's a lot of squeaking. Oh, is everything okay?
I'm squeaking. Hopefully everything's okay. This studio... Oh, they're fixing the front door. This studio is a sweltering 1,000 degrees right now. They're calling... see, what happens here, Dan, at the CTV studios in Scarborough, for our listeners who don't know, we can't just turn down the thermostat here. We have to call Quebec and ask them to do it.
This is not a joke. And we called Quebec. No one was there right now.
Nobody's there. Everybody's at the dépanneur getting their smokes for the day. So once they get in to the Bell headquarters, then hopefully we can turn the heat down
here a little
bit. They'll
see 37 missed calls from Toronto. They'll be like, yeah, we'll get to that later.
It's fine.
Let's go to lunch.
Who wants to talk to them? We just traded them plekinets. Dan, you mentioned it. We were on a plane back from... I saw a fascinating tweet today. The U.S. men's curling team won gold, which still fascinates me. For some reason, the U.S. men's curling team Twitter account decided to tweet at Delta. I guess the U.S. Olympic team flies Delta. Pretty good airline for an American airline. And they said, could we get an upgrade for the boys? They just won gold. And Delta actually replied back publicly, sorry, we don't have the room. But we're happy that you guys won gold. Now, what's your strategy there? If you're Delta, do you not just not reply and then direct message them and say, we can't do it, we're so sorry, because the public reply looks really, really bad.
Yeah, but then everyone's like, oh, you got to win gold to get an upgrade. Yeah, I guess you do.
And even if you do, you don't get one.
Speaking of flights, do you see our buddy Mark McMorris, his Instagram video? Who is on his plane? Lindsey Vonn.
Looks like there may be a budding romance. Lindsey's looking for love. And
in all the wrong places.
Sounds like she's looking for it in the right places. A Delta flight back to the States.
So PyeongChang, what an experience. We spent our last night in Seoul. I'm glad we discovered that on our last night, because we discovered that we were 3 hours from Seoul and the Olympics were essentially in a farmer's field.
Yeah, we were in the country. PyeongChang was very much the country. And I don't mean that in a bad way. The food was delicious. The people were wonderful. The venues were terrific. But Seoul was just a whole other beast. It's a massive city. First, I didn't realize I thought there were 10 million. Someone said there's like 20 million people in Seoul. It's gigantic.
It'd be the equivalent of North Koreans leaving their country and just going anywhere in South Korea and saying, what? This
what
is here?
What the heck? This is here? Because when we got to Seoul that night and we sat down and had dinner, and the beautiful women who were strolling by us, and not just women, but men, they were also stylish and cool, and it wasn't like that in PyeongChang. It was different. It was different there, Dan. I'm trying to dance around this as best I can.
Yeah.
But Seoul was very cool, very cool.
Here's another eye-opener we had on the drive to Seoul. South Korean truck stops.
Oh, the best. Like, the best.
Like, what do we have, in Ontario? The on-the-go?
Yeah, we got the on-the-go. Okay, now let's, you know, again.
No,
you
en get route.
The,
en route.
En route. And you get the Timmy Hortons, which is good.
Yeah.
But in these truck stops, you had different noodle places and dumpling places, and you could wash yourself.
You can wash yourself at the en routes, but yeah, that's it's touch and go in there. This everything's spotless.
Yeah, well, the whole country, Korea, as you pointed out, no garbage cans. Somehow, no garbage.
Never saw any crappy vehicles either. Everyone's got a nice car over there.
Well, not surprisingly, a lot of Kias, a lot of Hyundais.
Hyundai, like Sunday.
No, yeah, Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Yeah, that's what Mickey said. Hyundai.
The one thing the South Koreans have not figured out, all the technology they have, are the bathrooms inside their living quarters.
Right.
There's no
now,
heating.
Now, to be fair, we only had one. See, we had two experiences. We were in a beautiful hotel in Seoul where it was very separated and very North American and good. And then we had these condos, which was not so good. I don't know if every South Korean bathroom has a open shower open to the toilet.
I asked Mickey and she said, oh yeah, that seems to be the way.
Really?
And they don't heat that part of the house, which is odd because again, you're naked and wet.
Yeah. Yeah. Those bathrooms got pretty wet, pretty soaked.
Naked and wet. The Dan O'Toole story.
Oh, you had a pretty exciting Olympics, it seems. Spent the whole time naked and wet.
What else did we discover over there?
So, in general, I think you and I can say, hoping that the Russians won't come after us, that Korea did a better job at the Olympics than Russia did. I think, despite the terrifyingly close proximity to North Korea, I didn't feel any fear whatsoever.
No,
any danger?
As someone pointed out, it's like living with an annoying neighbor. They're just over it.
Yeah, I don't think they fear them or anything.
They don't think about it at all.
No, no. We got to visit the penis park. That was our last story we did. Again, very quickly, something to do with a woman. Her husband went off to sea to fish. He died.
And then
another man peed in the ocean and exposed themselves.
So the fish went away, and then he peed in the ocean, then the fish
came back. So they thought that was channeling the spirit of the fisherman who died. So they started to create an homage to him in the form of many penis statues.
Yeah.
And so there's an entire park filled with penis statues. I got to say, it was really fun just hanging around that penis park.
But the scenery there.
One of my favorite stories we've ever done.
The scenery was straight out of a storybook.
Storybook penis. The Jay and Dan story. Storybook peen. Do you think there's like kids' books about the penis park and all the penises in the park? And you could buy souvenirs, penis-shaped booze caps.
Well, the museum attached to it was five stories.
That's a lot of... Do you think there's one five-story in there?
We didn't go in. We didn't have time.
No.
We never had time for anything.
Everything was a massive rush. We had to get... pardon the pun. We had to get a story done in the morning, and then we had to do the show, and then we had some time in the afternoon and evening to relax. And we got to go to... So every night we would go to Cafe Nuts. Now, I think we've mentioned Cafe Nuts on previous podcasts. It was the only bar that was open in between the Media Village and the Athletes Village after all the country houses would shut down. So Canada had a house, Czech Republic had a house. Every country has a house where the athletes and their families of those countries can go specifically. And then usually they open it up to other people to come and sample some cuisine of that country.
But they shut it down early. They don't want to deal with the riffraff.
Exactly. They would usually... Canada House shut unusually early, like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Most houses would shut at 12. And by then, everyone's just getting going. They wanted somewhere to go. Well, Cafe Nuts was kind of the only option, and it turned into a giant fire hazard single night.
Yeah, the capacity was probably 200 people, and then they would fit about 600.
Yeah.
And we aren't exaggerating. We ran into some Koreans on our last night, and we were asking them, I said, are there fire codes here? And they're like, what's that?
Yeah.
I'm like capacity. Like, a fire marshal says you can only have this many people in here because it's unsafe. And they said,
nah.
I said, what? And they said, are you scared? Yeah.
Yeah, they like to terrify us.
So we always had an escape route.
That's right.
In our heads.
That's right.
And the escape route was over a railing.
Yeah, it was over the balcony to the pavement below, where we would likely dislocate both MCL and ACL in each knee.
So if you run into run into a Canadian Olympian, ask them about Cafe Nuts and they'll laugh.
I will say this, Dan. The thing that I enjoy most about Cafe Nuts is pretty much every night there would be Canadian Olympians in there, many of them who had just won their gold medals. Had a long conversation with Brady Lehman right after he won his gold medal. Such a terrific guy. And they'd just be, you know, like you said with John Morris, taking out their gold medal. People would say, can I take a picture with you with the gold medal? Can I wear the gold medal? They'd be like, sure, take it. Yeah. Go ahead. Everyone's so generous. And the thing that the Canadian Olympians said to us, Dan, was that this is almost like a three Olympics team. This was started in Vancouver for most of them. Went to Sochi together, and most of them are kind of finishing up in Pyeongchang. So the COC did a great job of making sure that all these Olympians spent time together outside of their events. So every time you'd go to an event, you'd go to a hockey game, there'd be tons of other Olympians from other sports there cheering them on. And you really got the sense that that this was a very close-knit group. Not just, you know, the bobsledders close-knit with each other, but everybody from every different discipline.
And I sent a tweet out. I said, this is the happiest I've ever seen Canadian Olympians, because I don't remember any of this taking place in Sochi.
No, I don't either. I'm trying to think why that would be. Well, one thing about Canada House this time is they opened it up to the general public. So in Sochi, they restricted it just to Olympians and their families, which is what they still do for USA House. Most houses open it up for a fee, of course. You got to pay to go in, which I think is fair.
It's like $25.
Yeah, I think that's fair, except for Austria House, which was outrageously expensive.
Yeah.
But the food was better. Let's give the Austrians credit. They had better food. But they closed it off in Sochi. So maybe by opening it up, Dan, they fostered a bit more of a communal environment, if you will. One thing we did miss, which I'm really upset at, and I mean, we just missed them, as we were leaving Pyeongchang, our friends, the Arkells, were arriving in Pyeongchang, like, I mean, literally at the same time, and they played a couple of concerts there, and just judging by the video we've seen, man, it looked like they put on an amazing show.
No, we left at the right time.
Okay, we were gone.
Because, yeah, we would have wanted to stay longer.
Well, that's true. I did want to kind of get out of there at that point.
Yeah, so, again, if you ever get the opportunity, attend an Olympics and go to Canada House, because it's almost like you're on an all-inclusive vacation and everyone goes their separate ways. And then at the middle of the day or the end of the day, you run into the same people. It's like, oh, what'd you do today?
Yeah.
And
you get to
know people and you get to see them. And it's great seeing Canadians that are so far away from home and just getting to know them and getting to know how their Olympic experience is. And everyone loved their experience.
And we met a lot of people, Dan, who volunteer for the COC and had done it for multiple Olympics now. And this is like just a thing they do. They volunteer for every Olympics. They get to go to the Olympics. They get put up. It's something you might want to consider if you want to come to the Olympics. Volunteer.
Well,
help out.
I think that's what I'm going to do when we get fired or we retire.
So, next Olympics.
No, we'll be there.
Yes. Yes, it's already been decided.
2020 in Tokyo.
Yes, it's already been decided. Dan and I will be at the next Olympic Games in Tokyo. Producer Tim is already scheduling time off for that particular portion of our workday. He does not want to be involved anymore. My understanding is it took years off his life. Now, he was back here the whole time. He wasn't even with us, and he was still very stressed out.
I don't get it. We were the ones running around on no food and shooting stuff and looking at penises and doing shows with 70-kilometer winds on top of a building thinking we were going to die. I was terrified in that windy show.
When you just, what you just described was more like a porn shoot or something.
Holy shit, it's hot in here.
Yeah, it's hot in this studio. I don't know what would make someone think we'd
want
Montreal,
it this hot. Has Montreal, have they showed up to work yet?
Well, what I'm wondering, so we're here at 8 in the morning. I know it's later now, but we got here at 8. Normally, we shoot the show at night. I'm wondering, does Gino, because we share the studio with Gino Retta, he does That's Hockey here. Does Gino like a hot studio? Does he like to get sweaty in the undercarriage down below?
No chance.
It seems like maybe
no one
Gino
likes a hot
that.
Studio because you get to sleepy time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe he likes to sleep right after, and so he likes to get really, he likes to rest a little
bit. G-Bone, have you got us? G-Bone in the control room? Have we got catering today? Okay, we're just told by G-Bone, our producer, Greg, that we can go over to James Duthie's studio and have some catering for lunch.
Perfect. Yeah. You had a breakfast sandwich today, and my understanding is you thought it was pretty tasty.
I'm going to hit that after this podcast.
Now, you know what they should have done? They should have brought in a bunch of Timmies for us.
Oh.
And maybe about 6 2-4s. Why don't we just start drinking in the morning? That's how Trade Center should be. Just start drinking at 8 a.m. and see how drunk everyone can get. See who gets who would get the drunkest. Two words, Bob McKenzie would be destroyed. But then he's our like star, so he wouldn't be able to break trades.
It sounds like a horrible idea that you came up with.
Okay.
Or you just have someone in the corner doing it.
It would certainly be more entertaining. Oh, how about Daryl Sutter? Daryl Sutter's part of our Trade Center coverage this year. Just have Sutter drinking four beers an hour. One beer every 15 minutes.
He's a Western boy. Four beers an hour does not faze him.
No, I know. Well, but you don't think by hour six?
Not a chance.
So that's a 2-4. Yeah, that wouldn't do it.
Speaking of the beer.
Six beers an hour.
We later discovered. So another thing with Sochi, there was no beer.
You mean Pyeongchang? We keep doing this.
No. In Sochi.
Oh, you're talking Sochi.
There was no beer in the venues. But in South Korea,
yes,
you could buy trays of beer.
Yes, you could buy beer in the venues.
And then we later discovered that South Korean beer is considered the worst in the world.
Do you think the Russians didn't have alcohol sold at the venues for a reason?
Yes.
Yeah. They know themselves.
Yes.
They wanted
to make sure there was no problems.
Yeah, they know. They're aware. How bad did you feel for Ovi when the Olympic athletes of Russia won the gold medal in men's hockey?
Well, Kovalchuk said.
Yeah.
He said the reason he played over there was because he wanted to play in these Olympics.
Yeah, I felt so bad for Ovi because I know that probably means more to him than winning a Stanley Cup, winning an Olympic gold medal for Russia. And this is probably his best opportunity.
Hey, speaking of NHLers, former NHLers and the NHL, Chris Kelly is coming back to the NHL.
Yeah, signed with Anaheim, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. And Fisher, they're announcing his deal today with Nashville. All these old guys
and
coming
then the
back.
The pool in Wall, he's got to be next.
Yeah, maybe. Someone will
Scriven Levita Loki, he's coming back.
You got to believe he'd come back. I haven't heard the latest on him. We'll have to ask him how he's doing. I hope he's okay. It's not a concussion situation. I talked to his wife, Jenny, at Canada House. She said it's not a concussion, so that's good. So maybe just got maybe a shoulder injury or maybe his penis got sprained. Going to the penis park.
Okay, that's a strange thing to say. So, yeah, the Olympics.
It was a good time.
What was the first thing you ate back in Canada?
Pasta, as they say in America, or pasta, as we say in Canada. I asked my wife to make a nice bolognese.
I got some Timmies. Got a steep tea. That was my first stop.
Uh-huh. Maybe crushed a 2-4 of Coors Light.
No. I was over the beer.
Yeah.
Oh, Coors, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I had a couple
you
Coors.
You crushed a couple.
And then I just wanted a standard dish. It sounds really boring, but I was talking about it the entire trip because I was starving the whole trip. I just wanted chicken and rice.
Starving the whole trip.
Everyone
well,
was
there was, the problem wasn't that there wasn't great food. It was that we were always kind of on the run, so there was no time for us to eat.
Our producer, Guy, over there, I'd say, Guy, we have to eat. He literally said to me, there's no time.
There's no time to eat.
I said, but...
You should have packed some energy bars from Popeyes, your favorite supplement.
Next time
shop.
I will remember to do that. Guy said, next Olympics, he's going to put a side of beef in his backpack for me.
Just slicing off beef.
And that is a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Yeah, keep the protein up a little bit.
Crush that. And then trying to get over the jet lag, did the old sleep 2 hours, wake up 3 hours. Sleep 3 hours, wake up 2 hours.
How's that working for you?
I feel okay right now.
Yeah,
you?
I feel better today. Yesterday did not feel good.
You
we
hit
had
a wall.
To be on air yesterday. I hit a big time wall around 2 o'clock. I was like yelling at my daughter, like, shut your mouth! She's two.
Olympic souvenirs go over?
Went over beautifully. The stuffed animals, all that fun stuff.
Surang.
I left a lot of things behind.
Like your dreams?
Well, that was years ago. But I left, like, clothes, all my TSN gear, left it with people in Korea. Just threw it at them. There was, like, a big crowd of people. I threw it at them. My boots. I threw those at some lady.
Yeah.
Hit her in the head.
I left my, I had a big head of mine that someone, oh, we saw them at the Team Canada game. We walked in and people had heads of ours. So we went and joined them, and one of them gave me my head. I don't know why.
Yeah, like a fat head type thing. It was on a ruler, and they were teachers from from Canada, and they were teaching in Singapore, and they brought these Jay and Dan heads to the game because they were hoping we'd show up. That was actually one of my favorite moments.
I had to keep that hidden, though, because when your head is a big bobblehead, my rat face did not look so ratty anymore. My bird face that the Koreans seem to enjoy.
This is one of the big stories of the Olympics, is yet your tiny, tiny face was very attractive to Korean people. And it was suggested that if you were to stay in the country, you would become a famous movie star. Why would you ever return here? Why wouldn't you stay and be a movie star in Korea?
Speaking of movies, I was watching some Korean movies on the flight back. Whoa, those are better than some Hollywood flicks.
Yeah, well, guess what? You could have starred in one had you stayed.
I don't know the language.
You could be living in Seoul. Well, then just dub your lines.
I forget everything I learned. I learned hello and thank you. I've already forgot.
Annyeonghaseyo.
Annyeonghaseyo is hello.
Hello. And
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Oh, that's German.
Auf Wiedersehen. What's thank you again? Oh, gosh. How can we forget that after 2 days?
And Mickey.
Kamsahamnida. Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida. That's thank you.
And the movie I watched was about Korea-Japanese relations, and
those aren't good.
Now I understand.
Those aren't good.
Mickey said that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. They don't like the Japanese.
Your movie reviews from your flight, because it's a 14-hour flight, so you get to see some flicks.
Okay. So you recommended American Made with Tom Cruise.
Yep.
I thought it was fantastic.
Perfect.
Great movie. Awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, based on a true story, he's great in it. And it's directed by Doug Liman, who directed Swingers and Go and some other cool movies that escape me right now. It was excellent. I would recommend that. And then I watched two old movies from the 60s, Dan. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
In the Heat of the Night with Sidney Poitier.
Oh, I was watching that too. I've watched that like 10 times.
Rod Steiger, great flick.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
He's awesome. He's awesome in that movie.
How long is that spaced out? Is it over a couple? Because it seems like he's there in a couple weeks.
He's there for like 2 days.
But it seems like a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's terrifying in some parts, though. And then I watched, I hadn't seen it for a long time. I was so excited. It was on the plane. The only George Lazenby James Bond movie, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which some people think is the best Bond movie. Sean Connery had quit the franchise after 5 movies. Out of money, so they hired Lazenby, an Australian. He was like an actor. He'd never acted before. He was a model. And I thought he was great in it. He was awesome. I can't believe people don't like him in that movie. I think he was awesome in it. So if you haven't
I've never heard of this James Bond.
He was only in one. And then Connery came back for Diamonds Are Forever, the next one.
And then the other guy was in one, wasn't he? Daltrey or whatever his name?
Oh, Dalton was in two.
Dalton was in two.
He was in two. And So Connery came back, and then Roger Moore.
And then Harry Styles is the new James Bond?
Harry Styles from One Direction. I don't know. Is that true? I think
that's what I heard.
They're trying to get Danny Boyle from Trainspotting to direct the new Bond. I read that last week. I think that Daniel Craig could move on. Let's get some new blood in here.
What about Susan Boyle?
Susan Boyle is James Bond. What about Idris Elba? Everyone wants Idris Elba to do it. He'd be good.
His debut was in The Wire, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or that Tom Hiddleston or whatever. I don't think he'd be good.
Air Canada, always great airline. Up your movie quota.
Yeah, or it's refresh them.
They're not weighing the plane down.
Yeah, refresh them. Get us some more stuff. Or the podcasts. Like, everyone wants to listen to podcasts. So I'm like, oh, let's see what podcasts they have. They have they've had the same ones for a year. Put our podcast on there, Air Canada.
Aeroflot.
Throw that on there.
Aeroflot, the official airline of Russia, which we flew over to Sochi, they had approximately 8,000 movies.
I'm going to make it a campaign. I'd like our listeners to make it a campaign to get the Jay and Dan podcast on Air Canada. What do you think?
I love it.
Right?
Or just two
archives?
More.
Archives?
Two more movies.
Just two more films. What would they be?
Why don't you get some Mr. Dress-Up reruns? Put something on there.
Okay, so here's what you put on there. Two movies. What are they? You can choose any two movies. What are those movies?
B-movie.
Okay.
Classic.
Yeah.
And Moulin Rouge.
Okay. For me, it would be Smokey and the Bandit 1 and Smokey and the Bandit 2. Done. And you add those movies... So you add those four movies, and you've got a perfect entertainment option on Air Canada flights.
Call me crazy. I like the Air Canada meals. Because people always complain about airline food. I love it.
So I think, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. The David Hawksworth, the Vancouver chef, he has a restaurant called Hawksworth. Wonder how he got that name. He makes all the meals now, personally, by hand. Thousands and thousands of them. So shout out to Hawksworth. He's doing a nice job with that. Yeah, the food is good. Food is good. It's nice to get fed overseas.
It's nice to get fed anywhere.
No, but you know, you, in a domestic flight, you don't get fed anymore. So unless you're in business, but you know what I mean.
Mentioned the cleanliness of Korea.
It is so clean. Did not apply to that Air Canada bathroom.
It was so clean. I saw, well, as we were walking through the airport, we had to walk a while because the cab guy dropped us at the other end of the airport.
Yeah, he did. That's right. He messed up.
You constantly see these people. It looks like they're in little scooters, but it's a scooter with a mop on the front. So they're just cruising around, cleaning everything up. A gentleman was cleaning a carpet with a roll of tape and getting all the lint off the carpet at an airport.
They're very serious about cleanliness. That was the cleanest airport, actually, I've ever been in my entire life.
So, if you're going to Korea, hit up the airport and the truck stops.
That's it. Pretty much it.
It's all you need to see.
Yeah. Get yourself a big rig. Travel around South Korea. Don't go across the DMZ. That's not going to work out for you.
Okay. So we went to the DMZ and I was talking to people that also went and they said, did you go to the meeting area? This is the one that everyone sees in the movies.
Yes.
So it's a building...
Where they literally meet, where North Korean
South Korean
meet.
There's a North Korean building and a South Korean building, and they meet in these buildings, and there's guards there, everything. But
correct.
You have to get security clearance, and it takes months, and we don't plan that
and
well.
And if you go, you will literally have South Korean guards standing next to you as you go there. Yeah. Whereas ours was more, I thought ours was better, because there you're just in buildings. The one we went to was on the coast, essentially a lookout, like a high lookout. On a mountain where you got to see on one side North Korea, on the other side South Korea. I just wanted to see, gaze upon the country with my own eyes.
I wanted to see those soldiers, and I saw pictures because you're allowed to take pictures, and these guys are standing there stone faced, sunglasses on, and they said if you step within like a foot or two of them, you're told they will strike you down.
Mm-hmm.
They
I'd
will
like
knock
them to
you
try
to the
that
ground.
With me.
Cause an international incident.
How cool would that be if I got in a fight with a North Korean soldier, hand-to-hand combat? That would be good for ratings.
True story, John Morris, who we hung out with quite a bit, he wanted...
Gold medal winner in mixed doubles.
He wanted to bring his gold over there and try, like, hey, guys, let's all get along. He wanted to create peace.
John Morris, and one piece of news to report. Gold medal winning curler John Morris is dead.
But I love that. He's such a fun-loving guy that he was serious. He's like, I want to go over there. I want to try and create peace.
I don't think anybody had more fun at the Olympics than John Morris. We'll have to get him on the podcast about this. Yeah, Scott Moyer might have had more fun. But John, I would argue, had more fun because Scott had to pretty much behave himself. Well, he didn't have to, but he did. Until his event, which was halfway through the second week, and then he really ripped it up.
But then he had one last skate, and they skated to the Tragically Hip.
Yeah, that was very cool. But John had his event so early, and then it was just party time for the rest of the the Olympics. The other thing, our friend Mark McMorris, who we got to hang out with, such a lovely guy, wins bronze in the slope style at the beginning and then doesn't have big air till like the very end. That was annoying. Like, why didn't they push those events together a little bit?
So he hung out with his Burton people. They took care of him. He went to the Burton shop in Seoul.
And yeah. Signed some Burton boards and hung out.
I didn't leave the hotel after we went to dinner. I took 8 showers because it was warm.
Boy, nobody needed to hear that. What was going on in there?
But a rainfall shower.
A lot of... Dan was very wet and steamy.
And the toilets, the Toto toilets?
Those were made by the guys who did Africa and Rosanna.
Heated toilet seats.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever had
that
one.
That should be a must. That should just be a standard thing.
I checked the price on Amazon, and not so cheap.
For toilets?
A Toto toilet? $5,000.
Perfect. Put one in the house in Orono. How many bathrooms you got in there? 7?
We barely have one.
$35,000 of toilets going in this week in Toolsy's Orono mansion.
Hey, can we get a sponsorship deal with Toto?
If we could get some Toto toilets, I would be pretty excited. If Coors Light wouldn't mind sharing the sponsorship a little bit.
Well, we've got the Coors side seats. They could have the Toto toilet seats.
So everyone sits on heated toilet seats for our interviews. That's not a terrible idea. But then, what if you have to relieve yourself during the interview? You just go?
The only thing, though, first time you sit on a Toto toilet, it's just all pictures. You don't know how to work anything.
I have a question. Are we onto something here? We do all our interviews on toilets with our pants down? And then you just... And then everyone... You can keep the interview going until one person relieves themselves.
Here's the problem. We jumped the shark years ago. People would be like, they've gone too far. This would be the
moment. Would be it? The Toto toilets?
Yeah.
I love this idea.
Has anyone gotten in touch with Montreal?
It's hot.
It's gotten hotter.
Yeah, it's hot in here. I'm falling asleep.
G-Bone? Nope. We've talked to them 3 times. We've had contact with Montreal.
Can you tell them to go to 61 degrees? 61 degrees.
I would love to have a camera on the person taking this call, and they're like, yeah, we're on it.
Yeah. And then hang up and then go back to looking up porn in French. Someone said they just went to Dean Boulder, the head of building ops. Hey, Boulder, figure it out.
Hey, Boulder, there's a thermostat on the wall.
Boulder, get some toilets installed on this set.
It's not a hard problem. You go to the thermostat, you turn it down.
Hey, Boulder, 2 things. Toilets and turn down the heat. Oh, Boulder had to call Montreal. So we couldn't call Montreal ourselves. Dean Boulder had to call Montreal.
Speaking of heat, they heat their homes in South Korea by way of the floor.
Kerosene. What?
By way of the floor. Floor heating. And it's got a mind of its own, kind of like the heat in here. We both burnt our feet.
Yeah, we did.
It's like, you know how you play the lava game as a kid? Imagine that in real life, and the entire floor is lava.
Listen, I think we should wrap up by saying this. We had a wonderful time in Korea. Wonderful time.
Hell of a place. I'm going to go back.
You might move back there and become a Korean movie star. Everyone stopped you on the street. Wanted to touch your face.
And... Birdface in
Korea Boy 4.
Escape from Pyeongchang.
Birdface. And you just make bird noises. Then you wouldn't have
to. In my line, every movie. Annyeonghaseyo.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to say anything. You just go cheep, cheep.
By the way, that cheep, cheep is from a St. Louis alcohol distributor. Where they had someone in a bird costume going cheap, cheap. A Canadian grocery chain is now using that. So if the St. Louis alcohol people hear about that, you got some copyright infringement.
That seems like a very, there's not a ton of ground to sit on there in terms of a lawsuit. You're being very vague. Better contact them directly.
Nah.
So think about that, Galen Weston. Birdface is coming for you.
Contact Diamond and Diamond. They've got a lot of lawyers.
Yeah, and they all look the same. They're like clones of each other.
No chance they're all lawyers.
Yeah, they're all like handsome men and women.
They've got two guys working the phone.
There's not one ugly lawyer in Diamond and Diamond. Like someone comes in, it's like a brilliant litigator, and he has like a hair lip or something. They're like, sorry, not at Diamond and Diamond. Get the f*** out of here. Well, this has been fun.
Okay, I gotta go. I gotta go shower.
Seriously, this has been great. We will see you next week. You know who we should have on next week? John Morris. We'll call him up.
Yeah, Johnny Mo.
Yeah, we'll call him up, see how he's doing post Olympic hangover.
He had to fly back and do a shift.
He's a fireman, so we'll check in with Johnny Mo and our friend Robin Black. Okay, no, not Robin Black. Robin White, right? Robin Black's the MMA guy.
Yeah.
Robin White is our friend from Vancouver.
Right.
Right. So Robin White told me that...
So we know a Robin White and a Robin Black.
Yeah, we've got a white and a black, and both of them are named Robin.
If we get a Robin Brown and a Robin
You know who would
orange?
Not be fun? Robin Beige. Not fun. Wouldn't be exciting. But Robin White, he wants to... he's got an update for us. So hopefully he hasn't ended up in another... cracked in on East Hastings.
Just an update. We are taping this during Trade Center. This is how often they're coming to us. We have not.
We did one segment with them and we said, when are you coming back? And they said 2 hours. So
2 hours of pushing broom, Maza. 8 by 12, 4-bit room. Okay. I got to go outside.
You're looking gamey.
Look at sweat marks behind the knees.
Okay. That's when you end the podcast, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
See you later.
They're going home.
This is the Jay and Dan Podcast, presented by our good friends at Coors Light.